I'm very happy that you are here. After the visiting to our neighbors and now here, it's important trip, one of the first, as I understood, foreign trip of yours. And it's coming after the Wales decisions, which have been more very important and included Baltics and Poland in the very important decisions lines for the improving the security of the region and collective security of NATO in general. So, and in this light, the discussions which we had with you now and are going to have still today are exactly oriented towards the decisions implementation phase of the Wales all decisions of NATO summit. So, I want once more welcome and thank you for visit of today. I will summarize a little bit in Lithuania for my media. As you go,
happy and delighted to welcome the Secretary General here in Lithuania. He's visiting the three Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. It is one of his first visits to the Baltic states as General Secretary of NATO, and this is very symbolic and important because it demonstrates that NATO is implementing its commitments and also is turning the decisions adopted at the Wales summit into reality. The Secretary General has a strong focus on defense matters, and this is demonstrated by the visits that he is now paying to our countries. So that would be a short summary.
Thank you so much, Madam President. I appreciate very much the warm welcome. I also like to express that we regard Lithuania as a highly valued member of NATO, and we are very grateful for Lithuania's contributions to our operations in Afghanistan and in Kosovo. And for the very clear leadership that you personally and Lithuania has shown when it comes to energy security. These contributions demonstrate the importance you attach to our collective defense and our shared security. And in these turbulent times, this commitment is more precious than ever. So we really appreciate your strong commitment to the alliance. We have had substantive briefings on the security challenges we face and the implications of Russia's continued aggressive actions in Ukraine. NATO's commitment to defend and protect all allies is rock solid. Collective defense remains our core task. NATO stands with Lithuania as we stand with each and every ally in the alliance. We saw this in action earlier today during our visit when we saw the troops just outside this control center. They play an important role in the support of our air policing mission in the Baltic region, and we are really grateful for the work which is done at this air space control center. That mission has been significantly strengthened in the recent months, and we have also deployed more ships in the Baltic Sea. And since the start of this year, NATO allies have conducted over 200 exercises. These measures are important, and they are going to continue because they provide assurance to the Baltic countries and to the alliance as a whole. The presence of troops from across the alliance demonstrates the clear resolve of all allies to stand with the Baltic countries. We are working hard to implement the readiness action plan that we agreed at our Wales summit. And it is my top priority to see this plan implemented in full and on time. Because this plan is the key to ensuring that we are capable to deal with the challenges we face in the future, it is so important to also implement the plan so we are really enhancing our collective defense. This is important because this is the way we can keep Lithuania safe and keep NATO safe. Another key pledge we made in our summit in Wales is to reverse the trend of declining defense budgets and to increase investment in defense. This is essential if you are to keep NATO strong and to be able to respond to whatever the future brings. And that's also the reason why I warmly welcome Lithuania's commitment to raise defense expenditures in the years to come. This is vital and every step counts. Madam President, you are strongly committed to a strong NATO, and I thank you so much for your continued commitment to our alliance. Thank you.
Two questions for each. I would like to start with fellow colleagues from Norway. Your question, please.
The decisions are for this moment sufficient, but we exactly what we're doing now, we're implementing them. So that means it's not yet in place everything we decided in Wales, but we are going fast and rapid, and as Secretary General said, it's his own main responsibility now to fulfill what we agreed, and we will be very hardly asking the NATO to be fast-tracking this implementation. For us, it is important, and important exactly to be exactly what we decided. Decisions were very good, they were sufficient, but implementation is on the way. Lithuania declaring that any sovereign nation makes decisions itself and on its own where and how to participate in the international institutions. No country, any, have right to dictate to sovereign countries to make decisions.
I have a question regarding Ukraine. How many troops and tanks does NATO intelligence show are now in Ukraine? And how many troops and Russian tanks should you also see positioned in Russia across along the Ukrainian border? And also, do you see any evidence that Russia or the so-called rebel forces may be pushing towards raiding a land bridge to Crimea?
I cannot go into details when it comes to the exact numbers, but what I can say is that we have seen military build-up. We have seen a movement of forces, of equipment, of tanks, of artillery and advanced air defense systems into Ukraine. And we have also seen movements of forces towards the line which was supposed to be the line that the ceasefire was going to be based on. So we have seen movements of forces also westwards in within eastern Ukraine. And this is very serious because it's totally undermining the Minsk agreements, and it's fueling the conflict, and it's contributing to new violations of the ceasefire. And that's the reason why we call on Russia to pull back its troops, to both withdraw troops from inside eastern Ukraine, but in addition to withdraw troops from the border, because that will be an important contribution to de-escalate the situation. And we also call on Russia to respect the Minsk agreements and to use all its influence on the separatists to make them respect the ceasefire. Because what we need in Ukraine is a political solution, is based on the Minsk agreements and on a ceasefire which is respected. When it comes to the intentions, I think it's wrong of me to speculate of on what are the intentions of the Russians, but we see that they have capabilities and that they are moving forces towards the border, and also that forces have been moved into eastern Ukraine. And that's the reason why we are calling on them to withdraw the forces, to defuse the situation, and to respect the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Ukraine. And the way they are behaving now is in blatant violation of international law and of the sovereignty of Ukraine.
Speaking about why is it that you have started using strong rhetoric with respect to Russia? We see, and we all see, that our neighbor, Ukraine's neighbor, is behaving in a fashion that no neighbor should act like. No country that respects international law, international commitment, should behave in this way. Today we see in eastern Ukraine Russian soldiers, Russian troops, while the state itself negates it blatantly. The state orders its troops to take off its insignia and to act without insignia. Such a state has all the characteristics of a terrorist state. That's what I can say. I will not comment on statements made by Lithuanian politicians or foreign politicians.